Good evening. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Turn with me in 2 Peter to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. There's a phrase in this verse that may be easily missed that sets apart Noah from the rest of the world. Let me read verse 4 through to verse 5. I take that back. Let me read verses 1 through verse 5. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. But through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Let us pray. Father, we are confronted with very weighty words. Your word is glorious and it is weighty. There are portions of your word, such as this passage, that are particularly weighty. Weighty because of the eternal consequences that weigh upon all of mankind. Lord, you look upon us covenantally. You look at us as having fallen in Adam. We also know that you look upon your elect people through the covenant of grace as being risen in Jesus Christ, saved by the work of Christ. Lord, we ask that you would give us understanding about these matters, that you would broaden our perspective, that we would think your thoughts after you and not our own, and that you would, O Lord, use us, even as you used Noah. In Jesus' name, amen. Noah, a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. The name Noah means rest or comfort. Let me say that there is no rest, there is no comfort, there is no peace with God until your sins have been put away. That saying, forget that saying. I don't want to get into that, except to say that without Christ, there is no peace with God. Paul, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the ultimate goal in the preaching of the word is that Noah, of course, achieved that for himself and for his family. In Genesis 5:29, it says, "And he called his name Noah, saying, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord had cursed." We labor in a fallen world. We labor by the sweat of our brow because of the curse of God upon the land. A curse that would be culminated in Noah's day by a worldwide flood. Unlike some, even some Reformed brethren who deny a worldwide flood, I believe that the Lord flooded the entire planet Earth. My proposition this evening is this. Noah is an example of a true preacher of God. What kind of a preacher was Noah? It may be simply summarized in one phrase found in our text in 2 Peter 2:5. Noah was a preacher of the righteousness of God. Paul said, as it is written, I believe, therefore I speak. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Meaning that if God has worked in your heart and mind in giving you faith, faith in the living and true God, by giving you faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, and in bringing you to Him, to acknowledge Him as your God, as your covenant God, and as your Father, through faith in the righteousness of Christ, which is the righteousness of God, and faith in His atoning sacrificial death for sin, and faith in His resurrection from the dead, which assures us of our resurrection and justification by God having raised His Son from the dead. This is what I'm speaking about. This is the righteousness which Noah preached and which we preach. This is what we believe, and therefore we speak. And it's a natural, it's a given, that when you believe something enough, you talk about it. If you believe in a product, you tell others about it. Oh, try this product. This is the greatest stuff in the world. This will clean anything. Or go to this restaurant. I had the most marvelous meal in all of San Diego. Or if you've seen a good movie, you rave about it, don't you? I believe. When did this begin? Well, it says in Genesis 6, 7, and 8 the following. You would turn there with me to Genesis 6, 7, and 8. Go right back to the very roots. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I had made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now imagine that God would reach this high point where He would repent or change His mind in His having made this earth. Can you imagine what the extent of the wickedness that was on the earth at that time, that would provoke God to such wrath that He would destroy the whole earth and literally start all over again? Because it grieved Him at His heart to see the rampant sin in the world. The long-suffering of God is great. But there is also a terminus to even His long-suffering. And once upon a time, on this earth, God reached that point, that boiling point, if you will. Except in the case of one single individual by the name of Noah. We are not thoroughly assured of the salvation of all of those that were with him. He was the eighth person, after all, There were seven others with him. But we are assured of Noah's conversion to Christ. And we have a belief, as those who believe in the covenant of grace, that that grace extended not only to the covenant head of the home, but also the other covenant members. And so we do entertain hope about the salvation of the rest of the family. But one thing may be ascertained in this passage, and that is Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It also says in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now, obviously, this is not saying that he was a sinless man, but that he had integrity. He had integrity between the words he spoke and the life that he lived, because it says he walked with God. Turn to another passage in Hebrews 11, 7. Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. And notice what follows. And became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, what righteousness by faith is this? Well, I think already you might guess that since we're in the New Testament, this is only the one righteousness by faith there is. This is the righteousness which is by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But your question might be, well then, how could Noah have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord Jesus Christ was not to be seen? No hide nor hair. Well, if we believe in the promises of God, if we believe that the covenant of grace began in the garden, if we believe that the covenant of grace began with the proto-evangelium, the first preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we believe that Noah, just like Abraham, was justified by faith in the coming Savior. Jesus was to come. Yes, he didn't come yet. Yes, it would be in the fullness of time. And the fullness of time obviously wasn't yet. But they believed in the one who had come to redeem his people from their sins. They didn't know his name in particular. They only knew that there was one that God would send one day. Many, many years, hundreds of years, thousands of years, if you will, down the road to save his people from their sins. It says that Noah became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith, and that is only one. And so the writer of Hebrews is declaring to us that Noah was saved by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is the righteousness of a holy and triune God, even as was concluded in the pastoral prayer this evening by the pastor praying in the name of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It says, by faith Noah, and we know this is the hall of faith, if you will, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith Noah, being warned of God, God warned him of things that were not yet seen. Might I also add, God forecasted in advance the coming of his Son to him personally. It also says he was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He prepared his house to save his household. Now, wouldn't you think that he wasn't just preparing an ark? Wouldn't you think that he was preparing his family by Bible studies, by prayer, family worship? Wouldn't you think that he was preparing his family to deal with the root cause of the judgment of God that was to fall upon this earth? Were they to go in this ark and be in an unconverted state, do you think that his job was completed? That in fact he had prepared his family, his household, for this judgment? Maybe they would live another 100 years or whatever length of time mankind was given to live in those days. And yet they died and went to hell. So they were spared a few 100 years by God's common grace. We've been studying common grace on Wednesday night. The Bible says that the high look and the proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin in the book of Proverbs. But so is the humble heart and the humble countenance and the carpentry of one man against an entire, not a nation, but world, is righteousness. In the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 20, Romans 4, verse 20, it speaks of Abraham. This is a chapter dedicated to our covenant head, Abraham. This picture of Christ, this covenant representative of the church. Verse 20, it says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Can it be said that Noah staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, that is God, had promised, he was able also to perform? Could it be that we can say the same of Noah, that he believed that and was fully persuaded that God would enable him to prepare an ark to the saving of 8 souls, including his own, with the potential, mind you, of this ark that he was building by the plan of God to save even more people? Just as there were thousands of animals that were brought by God, directed like a symphony into the ark, shortly prior to the closing, the shutting of the door, and then the destruction that was to follow. Did God enable Noah to build this ark to withstand a worldwide flood? There's no testing. There's no second chance. If this failed, that was it. Of course, he believed and was persuaded that God was able to keep that which he had committed unto him against that day. And therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Even as Abraham believed that God would give him a son, a seed of promise, who would carry the hope of the gospel forward into the future, by which the Messiah, Christ, would be proclaimed. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, Abraham's, that it was imputed to him, but for us also. But let me stop for a moment before I continue with, but for us also. Can it not be said that it was not imputed, it was not written for Abraham's sake alone, but even for one who was before Abraham, such as Noah, as well as those who would follow, such as the church since Abraham, since Noah, even us. To whom it shall be imputed, meaning the righteousness of God is imputed or accounted to us. You see, we don't have any righteousness. You have no righteousness. I have no righteousness that I can present to God and say, God, on this basis, let me into your kingdom. I have my sins. Oh, yes. But if I think I have any righteousness, I am fooling myself, because everything is tainted. Everything's spoiled. It's rotten to the core. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? It's a putrid sore from the top of my head to the toes of my feet. And God knows it. Maybe we're deceived, and maybe we think that we can get away with trying to present God with our own righteousness, but we're not fooling anybody. And we're certainly not fooling God. Jesus was raised from the dead for our sins, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised for our justification. This was Noah, as well as Abraham, as well as many of us who have come to trust in the book, in the blood, and in the blessed hope. That's where our hope lies. The three B's. Not the Better Business Bureau. The book, the blood, and the blessed hope. I believe you could hear Noah preaching to those large audiences that would gather, let's say, at an assembly. He would do open-air preaching because of his great burden. You know, some of the prophets were given a burden, like Ezekiel had this great burden of the Lord. Can you imagine the burden? That's a bigger burden than Atlas. You know, Atlas carries the world, right? But this man carries the souls of countless millions. Do you think he would let an occasion go by just so that they could have their recitation, their musical chorales and whatever, and entertain themselves and not him speak the word of the gospel of truth when the impending doom of God's judgment hangs over them? By the thread of God's grace? I came across a child's storybook that is so wonderfully illustrated, but not only that, the story is so good. Without reading too much between the lines of the Bible, the biblical account of Noah. And it shows Noah in one case preaching to masses of people, as well as when he was with his sons hammering away at the ark, you know, and they would come by mocking, scoffing, as the Bible indicates in the passage that we'll read shortly in 2 Peter, how they were scoffers in his day. There are scoffers in our day. You want to find out? You want to find one? Just preach the word of God, like Noah, the preacher of righteousness. You know, we're not preaching our own righteousness, and therefore we don't have to fear a thing, because they can't come back at us and say, hey, you know, you're a sinner. What are you preaching to me for? I am a sinner, but I'm also a dying man preaching to dying men. I love you. That's why I'm here. You know, what I witnessed, especially in high schools, and I'm not singling myself up. I'm not one that originated this witnessing here in San Diego. There's someone else who came before me. And I'm just thankful I can get on the bandwagon. But for the first time this last week, I can say that I truly wanted to hand out tracts to these high schoolers and talk to them. Before, I was break out in a cold sweat. You might think, oh, come on, Pastor, you're not breaking out in a cold sweat. You're standing up in front of people preaching right now. No, I kid you not. I kid you not, because as I approach them, and yes, they're looking at us, and they can see that those $1 million bills, and they can see the, you know, the phony money in our hands, and they know they've probably seen it before, or somebody has given them one. But they're They're shaking in their boots, as it were. They're somewhat intimidated. So am I. Oh, I'm not trying to show it. But, you know, for the first time, I have to say that the Lord broke me of this fear and made me thankful that I could speak to them in such a way, hopefully, communicate to them the love of Christ. And that I wasn't doing this for any other reason than because of their eternal souls. That I want them to go to heaven. And I feel so sad that many of them don't even have any clue whatsoever about what we're talking about. And that speaks ill of the society that we are in. That speaks ill of the visible church of this land. That speaks ill of their families and of the great travesty because of their neglect of the souls of their little ones who they're allowing to literally walk or march towards the precipice of hell and fall headlong to their death. I remember, and I think this is what really made it sink home for me. I remember telling Jerry Benson, "Jerry, I have to tell you something. I remember when I was in high school and I didn't know the Lord. I did not know Christ from Boo. When I was converted later in college, in my college career, and I came home to my hometown in Monterey and attended the local church, happened to be a Baptist church, I saw several of my classmates there. And while I didn't embarrass them or bring up the fact that they never witnessed to me, yet what struck me at that moment upon my seeing their faces was the fact that no one in high school even bothered to speak to my soul. No one bothered to hand me a tract or to tell me about the love of Christ, even in the Arminian gospel. And I determined from that point on that that would change for me. But I struggled. I struggled terribly with witnessing, believe it or not. I can preach in the open air because I hide behind a shield called preaching. But talking one-on-one to these souls and knowing exactly what to say to them, to minister to them the Word of God, to counsel their souls so that they don't go to hell, so that they go instead into the kingdom of God, is very problematic to me until the Lord granted me a breakthrough this week. And now, you know what? It almost doesn't matter that I had the exact words in front of me or in my mind to speak. But that I pray, believing that God will give me the words to say. And that all I need to do is talk to them. And let them talk to me and let them tell me what's in their mind and in their soul. And then I'll know what to say. It's no different than counseling. It's no different than talking to your loved ones who are in a hospital bed. Well, praise God, because there's a breakthrough. And if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. How's that? You know, the Lord spoke of Noah in Matthew 24. Look what he says. Matthew 24. He says in verse 36 of Matthew 24, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." It's going to come suddenly. It's going to be cataclysmic. It is going to be so ferocious and so unexpected that it will leave people literally reeling from the experience and immediately ushered into the presence of God. This is, I recall hearing the testimony of a radio transmission of people prior to the destruction of an airliner. Can you believe that there was so much cursing on that? You couldn't even sometimes hear the voices of the people for the cursing until there was dead silence because of the plane being destroyed. And so it will be. And so it will happen. Those people in Noah's day didn't know what hit them, as it were. Well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that because it takes time for water to rise up. Unless they were in some place where there was a flash flood, like when the waters came out from the ground and rose up immediately. But I dare say there were some who were probably able to swim for a while. And so I really can't say that they died immediately. But they certainly were all taken away, as the scriptures teach. And then our Lord also goes on to say that we are to be ready. We are to be faithful and wise servants. How are we going to be faithful and wise servants? By giving our people their meat in due season. Due season. When is due season? Is due season right before it happens? Is due season before their deathbed? Is due season before the judgment day? No. Due season is right now. Just as you are here right now preparing. I'm hopefully in the will of God. And Brother Mark hopefully are preparing you for that day. We are, as it were, preparing another ark for us. For that great day. Of another kind of flood. Even though the Lord did promise by a rainbow that He wouldn't flood the earth in the same way. But He didn't say that He wasn't going to flood the earth again. And of course, the scriptures teach that He will, so as by fire. So, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Even being a preacher of the righteousness of Christ. If Noah, with all the odds pointing against him, could do it, why can't we? With all the encouragement and brotherly support that we can have from each other, let's go out there together and take on the world, right? As Paul says, not only I believe, so I preach, but we believe, so we speak and we preach. In application, let us read 2 Peter chapter 3 for our reading of Scripture this evening. 2 Peter chapter 3. Hear God's Word. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. The last days are, of course, as of the coming of Christ, the first time until the coming of Christ the second time. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Notice, willingly ignorant of. They choose to be ignorant. Just like the people, many people do not want to hear the gospel. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Obviously, there will be a second coming, at which time the Lord will judge in righteousness the entire human race. And this will be the big one. We saw and heard or both of this recent tsunami. And it brought back in my mind a few years ago that tsunami warning that did such havoc and devastation through many countries where it hit. And we immediately prayed for Hawaii. Not because we love to go there and because it's our favorite holiday vacation spot, but because we have family and relatives there. And I remember praying with my dad, my mom, because we have close family friends, the Moonsons, that live there. It says in Hebrews that Noah, by faith, being warned of God, was moved with fear and thus prepared his family by preparing an ark. And as I've indicated, he not only prepared an ark, but along with it, the Word of God. The prepared Word of God to the saving of his house and to the condemnation of the world. Maybe God would make us like Jeremiah's to preach what would be judgment and condemnation. But I don't think so. Not entirely anyway. And yes, many are called, but few are chosen. Yes, few there be that find it. That is the narrow road. But is it worth it? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall he give in exchange for his soul? Is it worth it? How many of you are moved by fear, and myself, today? Because there's a flood of fire coming. We need to be preparing our ark. We need to be preparing ourselves through the preaching of God's word and the teaching thereof. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to convict your people of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. We thank you that you have, Lord, begun a work of grace in our lives, that we have found grace in your eyes, even as Noah and others in your word found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We are thankful.
But just as Noah, Lord, equip us. Equip us not only with the knowledge. We have much knowledge. Equip us, Lord, with the heart. Equip us, Lord, with the burden. The burden of knowing that coming judgment is imminent and can happen, as it were, at any moment. And countless multitudes will be lost. Lord, cause us to tell the untold millions the gospel by beginning with that one loved one, with that one neighbor, with that one co-worker, with that one classmate, to tell one another the gospel, to speak the gospel to each other, to be more evangelical, not only in our speaking, but even in our hearing and our application of your word. Help us, O God. Help us especially that we might be as Noah. And Lord, we are without excuse. We are without excuse. Lord, have mercy, we pray, upon us and upon your word, that it might have free course in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.